All right, 611 on WGN. Let's start Your Money Matters with the numbers that matter. And the number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits last week unchanged at a low amount, suggesting a strong U.S. labor market. Sound familiar? We've been saying that for years now. On some revised numbers, the American worker was actually more productive in the fourth quarter than we originally thought, which was already high. Oh, and we cost less than was originally expected. Those are both good numbers. Total consumer credit rose $19.5 billion in January. Yeah, that's not so good. Both credit cards and housing debts up more than double than were expected. Those are the numbers that matter on Your Money Matters on this Thursday, March the 7th. The market's up today. I think the S&P 500 hit a new fresh high. And they knew that Craig Bolanos was coming on Your Money Matters from Wealth Management Group. 30 for 31, Craig. Welcome to the program again.
Thank you so much. Hey, John, new highs do beset new highs. Don't fight the Fed. If we are going to get some lower rates later this year, that's part of the reason the markets celebrate. And after some congressional testimony, let's just hope that jobs data tomorrow morning at 7:30 doesn't come in too hot. Because if the jobs data is too strong, too hot, too good, that challenges those Fed rate cuts everyone's counting on that are going to start this summer.
Upside down world is still the way we look at the jobs market sometimes. I wanted to ask you, since we do have the State of the Union tonight, you know, in this day and age of, you know, really divided politics and, you know, we see everything on social media before it even gets denounced, unless barring some huge surprise, anything the president says at the State of the Union from either party now, that doesn't really move the needle or markets maybe as it used to, does it?
No, I don't think it moves the needle. I don't think the State of the Union moves the markets. I think right now we remain data dependent, and data dependent means we need to continue to see inflation come down. Granted, John, I always complain about the price of potato chips, Doritos specifically, on your show. It's a year-over-year change in the reduction of inflation, right? It just means inflation starts going up at a slower pace. That's what I mean by deflation. But if we remain deflationary and Goldilocks continues, which is the consumer spends regardless of whether they're spending from their bank account. That's not the case. You highlighted it. People are spending on credit cards. It's just the spending period that drives this economy. That's what's going to keep the party going into 2024 and keep the recession at bay.
Two economic notes in his speech tonight, which, by the way, you'll hear here at 8 p.m. on WGN and the Republican rebuttal as well right afterwards. He's proposing a corporate tax hike and also billionaires having to pay at least 25% as a minimum tax amount and a home buyer credit potentially of $10,000, which we saw back in the tail end of the Great Recession even, Craig, even though there aren't that many homes out there. Tell you what, we'll get Craig's reaction to either of those things if he has one. I put Craig Bolanos on hold, not only because it was time for weather and traffic, but Craig, I was throwing one at you I didn't prepare you for, and I gave you a chance to Google it in case you needed to. But
hey, you know I'm sitting here on my Bloomberg terminal reading the breakdown of the speech that's coming out tonight because it's already on the internet. Yeah. I guess I'm just going to watch and listen to it. So go ahead and tee that up, and let's see if I can thread the needle, although it's difficult. We'll do something for you.
The president will certainly outline where he feels like the economy is strong. And there are many of the things that we've echoed on this show for months now, well, that we've kind of made this turn. But no doubt housing is still a major issue. So I feel like that's why he's going to tackle this. And he will by proposing, and again, it's a Republican House. I don't know if anything's getting done before November, but he wants first-time home buyers to get an annual tax credit of $5,000 a year for the first 2 years. Now, you might say, some might say, well, that's going to drive up demand and raise prices. But on the flip side, to maybe counteract that, Craig, it seems like his plan also offers a one-year tax credit of up to 10 grand for middle-class families selling their starter home. I imagine that's to try and alleviate someone going from a 2.9 to a 7% interest rate to say, hey, a little more incentive to sell that home if you want to. Maybe that balance works. I don't know.
You know what? Maybe that balance works. There is an absolute bottleneck. Let's be sincere. There is a real shortage in housing in this country. It is a legitimate shortage in housing. And if someone says, what's good be the best way to bridge that gap, to loosen it up? I, at the end of the day, think it's just free markets are going to get there on our own. But if we want to start providing credits, both the buyers and you're going to provide credits to sellers, well, now maybe I'm interested. But I think all of that might lead to larger inflationary pressure, which is exactly what we don't want to see. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's fair. And again, the political reality, and you don't have to comment if you don't want, Craig, that's totally fine. I will just say, I don't think anything's going to happen, any major pieces of legislation. I think the president probably knows that, which gives him the cover to propose it in the first place.
I think there's no chance anything happens now. It's all, whatever's locked in is locked in. But let's be clear. I mean, the president is going to re-propose yet again his billionaire tax. But again, it's not a billionaire tax. I read the transcript during the commercial break, and it imposes a 25% minimum tax on Americans with wealth more than $100 million.
Okay.
John, $100 million is a far cry from a billion.
Yeah, in but $100 million is still not many of us, right?
Oh, no. It's still, I mean, it's still, exactly.
It's most the Craigs of the world, but not the Johns of the world.
I am not in that camp there either. I'm a working man. I'm working with you at six something in the evening at WGN.
Right.
But, you know, and I understand the arguments, right? I mean, the arguments is, hey, you know, with this course correction, if we start taxing the wealthy, which you have to define how you're going to tax them, you know, it's a course correction that some people would argue make things fairer. On the other side of the ledger is what's always been said is if you tax wealth, you're going to end up with lower economic growth, fewer new business starts, less job creation, and fewer choices for American families. You know what? It's 6-1, half dozen the other. That's why we live in free and fair elections. Let everyone vote for themselves. The chips fall where they fall, and we'll all move forward. But it's interesting that the political rhetoric and the money is going to be a big part again of this election cycle.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I just feel like we have short memories, and sometimes it's because, well, quite literally, some of the things I'm about to pull from the past are before a lot of us were born, but not all of us, though. It's hard to forget, or easy to forget, that the upper tax brackets were taxed sometimes in the 80 or 90% range. And I'm not suggesting we do that at all. I'm just saying that that was a reality in coming out of World War II America to try and pay off a deficit. It obviously changed a lot under Reagan and subsequent administrations for both parties. And again, I'm not suggesting that, Craig, but it is interesting that even a tax like that to some people seems so foreign and so, oh my goodness, that's insane. When the reality is it's not anywhere near where some of the tax brackets were 40, 50 years ago.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it's here, John, when interest rates were at zero, there was only one way for them to go. That was up.
Right.
With tax rates where they sit today, based on the size of our deficit spending, I think there's only one way for them to go, and that's where?
Up.
Back up. When we have the jobs data tomorrow, the unemployment rate is 3.7%. It's kind of like that movie, As Good As It Gets. There's probably only one way for the jobs data to start going this year. The unemployment rate's probably going to tick up marginally over the course of the year. So you're correct. For those who are good students of history, we had marginal tax rates, not in the 37% range. We had marginal tax rates in the 40, 60, 70, 90% range, and that was just a couple generations ago. So never say never. History tends to rhyme, or in this case, maybe repeat itself.
Right. And, you know, this brings to a good pivot point here, Craig. And by the way, we're talking about Craig Bolanos, Wealth Management Group, who you can call at any time, assuming during working hours. Craig's got a lot of work to do, but you can give him a call at 833-WMG-PLAN, and he'll run this retirement stress test for you. And I imagine, Craig, part of that stress test and you're chatting with people is exactly what we're talking about. If taxes are going to be higher, it sort of dispels the notion that we've all had about, you know, oh, do the 401k pre-tax, do the IRA, and maybe we need to start focusing a little bit more on those Roth IRAs or those areas because, well, you may be making less in retirement. The tax rate may be way higher. I mean, imagine that's a conversation you have with a lot of folks.
We do, and at the end of the day, I think the single greatest threat to every American listening to the show today is simply this. The age wave demographics of our country, the graying of America, some people call it the silver tsunami. I heard John Williams say the silver tsunami before. Yeah, that's right. It's going to require revenue raises, and revenue raises is a nice way of saying increasing income tax. So for most people, if you can qualify for a Roth IRA, qualify for a Roth 401k. If you and your financial professionals believe Roth conversions would be good ideas, I think anything people can do to get money into the tax-free safety zone of the Roth IRA, tax-deferred growth, tax-free distributions, it is not an option. It's the illusion of choice. It's not a I can do it. It's I must do it in order to protect me and my purchasing power into the future.
Right. And Craig, I'll go to the chalkboard just in case that went over some people's heads, which is totally understandable. If you're in an IRA or a 401k that is done and the money's taken out before, like it's in your paycheck and they take it out before they tax, that's fine. You're not paying tax on it now. You won't pay tax on gains, but you will pay tax on the income you pull out. A Roth would be, hey, you get your paycheck, you're taking some of that money, which has already been taxed, you're putting it away, but then you're done forever. Do I have that good?
You have that correct. You're right. The Roth IRA is the reciprocal or the antagonist, right, to mm-hmm. the traditional retirement accounts. And I think a big part of getting retired and staying retired is not just having a plan. It's being tax diversified, having some money that's tax deferred, some money that's tax free, some money that's always taxable, and people need to work with dedicated professionals to build out that tax diversification in order to protect their opportunity to choose in retirement, because we can get through recessions, we can get through different things, but no one knows where tax rates are going to need to go. So if we can eliminate that risk by using Roth IRAs, as you indicate, John, how could we pass on that opportunity? I say we can't and we shouldn't.
I'll close with this in about 20 or 30 seconds, Craig. The idea, hey, look, from October till now, I think all of us think we could be wealth managers by looking at our 401ks, maybe our E-Trade, whatever the count is. Like, it's gone up, and boy, we feel great. But Craig, what you do with the stress test at Wealth Management Group, in 30 seconds, describe what that's like so people know why they should be giving you a call.
I want everybody to actually be better in touch with their money. I want people to perform a stress test on their current portfolios so that they have an idea of what their downside potential is. Because when we're investing, we have to invest for a purpose. It's to get retired and stay retired. But all of us deserve to do it in such a way that we have a sleep at night portfolio. And a sleep at night portfolio comes from understanding the downside. Because if we manage the downside, guess what, John? The upside always takes care of itself in the end.
833-WMG-PLAN. Craig, as always, good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon, okay?
Sounds great, John.